بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My respected brothers and sisters in Islam, in these times that we are living in, where the Muslims today and the Sharia of Islam under massive attack and massive criticism, the Muslim today should stand with the pride of his Sharia. Many of the Muslims today have lost confidence in their Sharia, lost confidence that the Sharia of Islam is the solution for everything. And the Sharia of Islam is the only Sharia that provides justice, and the only Sharia that has the essence of justice in it. Many brothers and sisters, unfortunately, they have lost this confidence. They're not confident of their Sharia anymore. They live their life amongst the kuffar and the non-Muslims in a state of fear of talking about the Sharia of Islam. In an apologetical way, they talk about it. You can't be a da'i to something that you're not fully convinced of. And I say a lot of Muslims, yes, in big number. And they see, and they make it seem easy for themselves to compromise the teaching of Islam, to compromise the beliefs of Islam, to compromise the rulings of Islam. And you hear weird and pathetic excuses, pathetic fatwa that comes out, trying, aiming, as they call it, defending the Sharia of Islam, making the Sharia of Islam to look good in front of others. No. If we only understand the reality of our Sharia, if we understand the reality and the beauty of our Sharia, if we have the depth of knowledge of our Sharia, we know that the Sharia of Islam is the most supreme Sharia. Way, manhaj, methodology, system. Subhanallah al-Azim. How can a Sharia that ruled the world for over 1400 years cannot be something for today and for tomorrow and for a million year? That's why the purpose of this lecture, what I want from this lecture, is to speak to my brothers and sisters in Islam, to instill in them and to show them that the Sharia of Islam is something for every time and every age, and it is perfect, and the depth of it, the depth of the Sharia of Islam, is not understood by many Muslims today. You cannot take a juz'iyah, you cannot take a proportion, amr juz'i, لِتَحْكُمَ بِهِ عَلَى الْكُلِّ as the ulama say. You cannot take something small, a proportion of the Sharia, isolated from the whole understanding of the Sharia, and then pass on a judgment on that juz'iyah, on that proportion, on that part. No. This is not justice. This is wrong. Because when we look at ahkam, the rulings of the Sharia, they have to be taken in totality. In a general picture, it cannot be taken in small proportions, and then when you pass the judgment on them, they would look like something aggressive and something that is wrong and that is something brutal without taking the Sharia in its totality, where everything fits. It is like when you take piece of the puzzle and you look at it, turn it with your hand, right and left, flip it between your fingers. It doesn't make sense to you. It looks like something that is not proper. Something that it's not fitting nowhere. A small piece of a cloud and a small piece of a mountain and a small piece of a star. Yet, it's not making sense. But when you put that piece of the puzzle in the big picture, you would say, Subhanallah. How beautiful is this picture? Why? Because you'd know that without that smaller proportion, the big picture is not complete. And also, that proportion then would make sense when it fits in the big picture. And that's why when the ulama spoke about the characteristics of our sharia, when they spoke about the objective maqasid al-sharia, they wanted to show us the totality of the sharia, the rahmah of the sharia. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, we only sent you as a mercy to mankind. Why? Because when his sharia is implemented, surely the mercy would descend. Because the sharia in its totality is mercy. But when you take a proportion, like for example, lashing the adulterer, someone who committed adultery and proven guilty through Islamic court, and then the judge pass on the judgment to lash him, someone would say, this is brutal. Well, if we measure it with our intellect, yes. It is lashing someone. 80 lashes, something is not easy. But when you take it and put it in the picture, in its totality where it fits, you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was merciful with him. Subhanallah al-Azim. My respected brothers and sisters in Islam, this is, as I said, my talk is directed to Muslims, so they can get a clearer understanding of the sharia. We have to remember, when we speak about the characteristics of our sharia, we have to take into consideration and know that who is al-shari', the legislator? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by the permission of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have the firm belief that he is al-alim, all-knowing, al-khabir, the well-acquainted, al-hakim, the wise, al-adl, the just. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's alim, the all-knowing, khabir, well acquainted of everything. Hakim, wise. Adl, just. So whatever he's going to legislate, it has to have ilm behind it. So since the ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses everything, the past and the present and the future, and whatever did not happen, if it's going to happen, how it's going to happen, Allah knows it. So when he legislates, he knows what suits a human being and mankind. And since he is well acquainted, he knows how the soul from the inside, the soul of mankind, how it reacts with different affairs in his life, with his dealing with his wife, with his dealing with his daughter, with his dealing with his son, with his dealing with the others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, well acquainted, khabir, in what we think and how we think and how we react, as Allah in many ayat in the Quran described al-insan for us. And research the word insan inside the Quran, it comes out with wonders how Allah describes a human being to be. This nafs, this psyche, this psychology of mankind, Allah knows it. Hence he legislates to him what suits him. And by the way, when we talk and we study the sharia of Islam, as the enemies of Islam like to present it, they ignore 90% of the fiqh and they go to one of the smallest chapters inside the Islamic fiqh, which is Kitab al-Hudud, which is the prescribed punishments, subhanallah al-azim, and they highlight the punishment. They say, look how Islam is brutal. They left 90% of legislation, subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he legislated everything to us, so we don't fall into the prohibitions, and then he put stern punishments, which is, we'll talk about it when we get to it, stern punishments, so we do not fall into them. Yet that 10% of fiqh, and probably not even 10%, they take it as something to go and nullify the 90% of the sharia. This is not justice, and this is dhulm. oppression. When we want to take the Sharia, we have to then take it in its totality. When it comes to shed the light on the Sharia and criticize the Sharia of Islam, then one has to put the whole Sharia into perspective and project over all the Sharia. Not take a little bit to judge with it, everything else. This is from the Dhulm. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that the enemies of Allah and the enemies of Islam, yatarabbasun, waiting for little things. But regardless, we are pride and we have pride with everything in our Sharia. From the beginning, from the Kitab al-Tahara to the last chapters of Fiqh. So it comes from Al-Adl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Hakim. It comes from Al-Hakim, the one who has hikmah. And the hikmah means, as Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah has defined it, فِعْلُ مَا يَنْبَغِي كَمَا يَنْبَغِي فِي الْوَقْتِ الَّذِي يَنْبَغِي. To do what is befitting to do in the way that you're supposed to do it at the right time that you're supposed to do the act. So al-hikmah, to do the right thing at the right time in the right way. So the Sharia comes with the hikmah because it comes from al-hakim, to do the things as they were supposed to be done in the right way. And it comes from al-adl, the just. The just. And a justice al-adl is to put everything where it belongs. To put everything where it's supposed to be. Meaning, to take something from where it belongs. This is zulm. My money belongs in my pocket. You reach out and you take it out of my pocket. This is zulm. Because it doesn't belong to you. It belongs in my pocket. So the Sharia of Islam, when it comes to pass on the ruling, to say riba is haram, then this is adl. This is justice. Because you're not taking the money of people unlawfully. وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. When they said riba is like buying and selling, I said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said no. No. Allah made the bay halal and made the riba haram. Because in the bay there is the risk of losing. Since there is the risk of losing, there is risk of gaining. As the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Kharaju bid-daman. Winning, gaining comes with risk. Riba, there is no risk in it. Guarantee you getting extra money for your money. And that's dhulum. Adil, to put everything where it belongs. So after this long introduction, my respected brothers and sisters in Islam, we know that the Sharia comes from Allah. Then, what are the characteristics of the Sharia? The characteristics of the Sharia, first, it has a sibgha ilahiyya rabbaniyya, meaning it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sibghatallahi wa man ahsanu min Allahi sibgha, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah. Sibghatallah, the religion of Allah, it comes from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whom better, and which is better than Allah's religion. And that's why we know, my respected brothers and sisters, when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, guide us to the straight path. غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ, not the مَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ, not the ضَالِّينَ. Give us and guide us to the straight path, which is the Sharia and the Deen of Islam. Because the Sharia and the Deen of Islam did not come from East or West. It was not influenced by East or West. It came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has no corruption whatsoever. No corruption whatsoever from any ideology. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He said about it in Surah An-Nur, verse 35, listen how He, this beautiful description. زَيْتُونَةٍ لَا شَرْقِيَّةٍ وَلَا غَرْبِيَّةٍ, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, like an olive tree, not from the east nor from the west. It is not influenced by the east nor influenced by the west. So it is not influenced by any ideology. It's not influenced by the Greek philosophy nor the Roman philosophy. It has its own standard, which is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, as I described to you deriving it from the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا شرقية ولا غربية
يكاد زيتها يضيء ولو لم تمسسه نار نور على نور.
It's a blessed olive tree, neither from the east or the west, whose oil will almost glow forth of itself, though no fire touched it. It's a blessed tree, subhanallah al-azim. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has clarified the way to us.
He said, قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيِّ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيِّ. After he sent the messenger, قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيِّ. Since it is not influenced from the east or the west, if we bring to it anything that is from other ideologies, the Sharia would be corrupted. And we've seen ulama al-salaf, how they spent their life trying to protect any infiltration to the Sharia of Islam. And that's why how wrong the ones who early said this Sharia, it has socialism in it. And I was amazed to read in one of the books of hadith, the one who did an introduction, he said, Aba Umar radiallahu anhu, he is the biggest ishtiraki, socialist. This is when socialism was prospering inside Egypt at that time. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. And now they want to cling to our Sharia democracy. Or they want to cling capitalism. Or they want to cling to it secularism. No. Our Sharia, as Allah described it, it's like an olive tree. It lights. It has light. By itself and from itself, it does not need outside sources. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every day to keep us on it. اهدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delivered it as he was supposed to deliver it sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيِّ. The guidance, the truth is clear from falsehood. And then when Aisha radiallahu anha was asked about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said, the manners of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the Quran. So he implemented the Sharia. That's what it meant. Him, in his sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actions, has reflected the Sharia of Islam. So, the first characteristic, it has sibgha rabbaniyya. It is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has the second, ittisa'u al-ufuq. Ittisa'u al-ufuq has a vast horizon. What does that mean? If we would look at the societies before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, till today, we find different societies ruled by man-made laws, habits, customs. So, all the laws they made is based on trial and error. They keep changing. They keep changing according to what they see best. Based on theories of evolution and other theories. So, it is not clear. And that's why, for example, and take this example as a living example. When the Muslims migrated to some Western countries, when they first entered, they said to them, you have the freedom to practice your religion the way you like. And then after years, when they found Islam is spreading vast and in big numbers in their countries, they wanted to contain it. And some countries banned the niqab. And they introduced laws to ban the niqab. The question here is, and the Muslim asks this question, before I came to this country, and when I came to this country, I had the right to practice my religion. Now when I'm here and I made the changes in my life, why do you want me to change my religion? You gave me a promise in the beginning that I can practice my religion the way I see fit. So now why are you introducing laws to stop me from practicing my religion as the way I see fit? Why? Because it is based on culture, their laws, based on culture, habits, whims, whatever you want to call it. They change it according to what suits them. As for the Sharia of Islam, it is fixed. If a country ruled by the Sharia of Islam, the person who comes to that country, he gets the rules and he'll be told, these are the rules and they will not change. You know why? Because it comes from Allah. No one has the right to change those rules. So it is constant all the time, no matter what happens. The one who got a contract with an Islamic government, he knows this is what he's going to receive and this is his duties and these are his rights. And those rights, they will never increase nor decrease. Why? Because they're constant and they're from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how the Sharia of Islam, it came with its vastness. And look also, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-alim and he knows. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made laws to suit every time and every place. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِّنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ Surah Al-Rum verse 7. They know an apparent from this حيات الدنيا, meaning ظَاهِرًا مِّنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, they know a smaller proportion about this dunya. They know only the outside appearance of the life of the world. And they are heedless of the hereafter. So what do they know? They know only smaller proportion of this dunya. They do not know as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. That's why they keep changing. But as for the Sharia of Islam, it is not dayiqatul ufuq. The horizon of it is not narrow. Since Allah knows the future, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every legislation is for today and for tomorrow. And it's not changing, as I showed you in the prior example. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِيَّتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنَّ وَمَا تَهْوَى الْأَنفُسِ They only follow doubts, assumptions, and what the whims and desires implement on them. And inshallah we'll see. When you see the Sharia of Islam, as the ulama, they said, the fiqh is into two proportions. Ibadat, which is specific acts of worship. They do not change it through time and place. The tahara, the salat, the zakat, the siyam, the hajj. And another, which is al-mu'amalat. Transactions, buying and selling. And under the mu'amalat, you find the ahadith, they're not many. And the ahadith gives general rules to give the flexibility to the Muslim every time and every place to create a way of dealing where the general rules are known. Riba is haram. Do not sell what you do not own. Do not sell something with major ambiguity. A contract that has major ambiguity is not allowed. All these are general guidelines for people in different places at different times. They can work easily and live easily and earn and deal easily. This to prove that this Sharia is for every time and every place. And we've seen in the previous incidents how when the markets collapsed, how the Islamic finance outshined and showed that it is far better system than the system they are practicing. And mind you, there is so many question marks on a lot of the modern financial contracts, whether they meet the Sharia or not. But regardless, this is not the time and the place to talk about it, but regardless, you still see that the Islamic Sharia, the finance of it, is for every time and every place. This is another ittisa' al-ufuq, a great vastness of the Sharia. And that's why Rabi'i ibn Amir, when he said, radiyallahu anhu, الله ابتعثنا لنخرج العباد من عبادة العباد إلى عبادة الله. Allah sent us to take the slave from the worship of slaves to the worship of Allah. ومن ضيق الدنيا إلى سعة الآخرة. And from the narrowness of this dunya to the vastness of the hereafter. And we have seen how when communism collapsed, why? Because they narrowed all the movement of humans حركة الإنسان, the movement of a human, they narrowed it to matter and material. They said matter is everything. They said matter is everlasting and based everything, even history, according to that. That's why they interpreted the history as fight between different classes, صراع الطبقات. And it showed its failure and failed. Third, the Sharia of Islam has عالمية الثقافة. It's an international culture. So the Muslims are one culture, not different cultures. The Muslims are one culture. And listen to a philosopher, his name is Renan, he's French. He said about humans, جنس واحد يلد السادة والأبطال هو الجنس الأوروبي. There is one kind of people that give birth to masters and heroes, which is the European jinns, the European race. فإذا ما نزلت بهذا الجنس إلى مستوى الحضائر التي يعمل فيها الزنوج والصينيون فإنه يثور. And if you were to bring this race down to the yards where the niggers and the Chinese work, he will revolt. And then he said, إن الحياة التي يتمرد عليها عمالنا يسعد بها صيني أو كائن لم يخلق لحياتنا. He said, the life that our workers are trying to rebel against, any Chinese would love to take and adopt this life, anyone who is not born for our type and our way of life. A racist view to the world. A racist view to the world. And look at when Hitler, he made his nation as the number one, and he made the Arabs as the four and as the 14th level. And he said, after the Arabs, there is nothing except the Jews and the dogs. Look how this racism, this way of life that they looked at the people with. And we kid ourselves if we believe that racism is removed from the people. Nay, racism is still in the hearts of a lot of people. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. And that's, we need to know that as a fact. As the Sharia of Islam came to say, no, we are humans. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the difference between a person and another with piety, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى. Our people were created from males and females. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا. And we made you nations and tribes so you know one another. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. Indeed, the most pious one from amongst you is the one with taqwa. The one with the most taqwa. So, as for the Sharia of Islam, it does not differentiate between an Arab or non-Arab. Because it is not the culture of the Arab, nor the culture of the first, the Persians, nor the culture of the Romans. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The best amongst you, the most honorable in the sight of Allah, are the ones with the most piety. And that's why we see that in the treatment of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the treatment of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Salman al-Farisi, who's the Persian, and Bilal al-Habashi, who's Abyssinian, and Suhaib the Roman, who are Rumi, and others, it was as brothers. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةِ. Indeed, the believers are brothers. As some other religions, if your mother is not Yahudiya, then you cannot be a Yahudi. What's got to do with the blood? Or they say, we are Abna'ullahi wa Ahibba'ahu. We are the children of Allah and beloved to Him. And that's why they narrow their deen to a specific group of people. While the Islam is vast and the Sharia of Islam is vast. And also, another point of the vastness of our Sharia. Islam came to deal with the human being as a human being, disregarding his race, color, his country, or his land that he came from. And came to give him the tarbiyah for the nafs, and the ruh, the soul, and the manners. And it came the Sharia according to what he can bear. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Came for him to do what he can bear. And that's why you see in the Sharia of Islam, the Muslim, when his wife, she's in her menses, he does not lock her away. Nor he will sleep with her and has the intercourse while she has her menses. It came to be in the middle of that. To fulfill the desire, if there is a desire, yet at the same time, it doesn't go all the way to the extent where it could cause harm to the woman and the man by having an intercourse with her while she's in the state of menses. And it came to consider his feelings and put the guidelines about the dealing between the husband and the wife. How they should treat one another. Subhanallah al-Azim, munzil hadhihi al-Sharia. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَّةً لِلنَّاسِ. And we not sent you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except as a giver, as a glad tiding and warner, and a warner to all mankind. But most men know not. So he came to all mankind, disregarding their race, their color. And also, the fourth point, the fourth character of the characteristics of our Sharia, الشمول والكمال, the inclusiveness and the completeness and the perfection. So the Sharia of Islam does not deal with the person as a materialistic being, as an outer body only, nor it deals with him as a spirit only. As you see, the man-made systems, it deal with the person as if he's a body only. Aql, mind, and body. And some religions, it deals with the soul only. That's why you see the split personality in the person who, and specifically in the Westerner, where his laws and his lifestyle came to serve the body side only. And then he would like and he searches for food for his soul. He either goes to Buddhism, where they go extreme in spirituality, disregarding the body, or other religions. Islam came to balance this, to give the body and the soul the equal rights, so they can live side by side on equal right. As he's a Muslim, he has from Islam what his body needs. The Sharia has legislated laws to suit his body, and legislated laws to suit his soul. Subhanallah al-Azim. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he made the human valuable when Allah blew the soul in Adam. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي خَالِقٌ بَشَرًا مِّنْ طِينٍ. Your Lord said to the angels, I am going to create humans from clay. So far, there is no value. The clay did not have a value. Then Allah continued to say, فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ. And when I create him, and then when I make the taswiyah, I mean to create his body, and then blow the soul, my soul, which is a soul that Allah created and honored, and blew it in him, then I want you to prostrate in salute to him. So when that soul came to the body, this is when you have the human being with the value. And that's why the Sharia of Islam came to include both. Not one over the other. Why the Sharia of Islam inclusive and complete? For three main reasons. First, the Aqidah of Islam gives the Muslim a complete understanding and vision of a human being and the world around him and life. It gives him a complete understanding, tasawwur, complete understanding of the human being, the traits of a human being, how a human being behaves, and about the world around him, how it functions, and about life. So the big issues that always kept the philosophers and people and the intellectuals busy, Islam has gave you the answer for them. So you do not need to spend years of your life or time researching this. It's all been given to you as a Muslim. Because you see, all the work of the ancient philosophers revolves around knowing the basis of mankind. Where did he come from? And how can he come? And how come he is in this dunya? And where is he going?
And what is the end? And what is the relationship between him and the one who created him? And what is beyond this dunya? And that's what they call the philosophers, the metaphysics, which is the world beyond of the seeing. Subhanallah came to give him this understanding, to take him away from the hayra, from this confusion that he is in. Came to take him from this confusion, from this perplexity, and gave him the answers for that. Second, the Sharia has encompassed the human being from the time when he's young, a baby, until he is a young man, until he turns old. It came to teach us what to do before he is born, and when he is born, and the ruling when he dies, from washing him and shrouding him, and the even inheritance. So it came to encompass everything to do in our life. It came to take care of his spirit, take care of his soul, take care of his body, from the time when he is, even before he was born, even before intending of having the baby. Yani when you are not even born yet, the Sharia directed your father and your mother how to go about their life. And then when you are consumed, and then when you are inside the womb, and when you are baby, and then when you grow as a young man, and when you pass away, and what happens to your money. So subhanallah, how the Sharia encompassed everything. The third, the Sharia is a complete law. As it came to take care of the individuals, it came to take care of societies. And that's why I put rulings, which is social laws, financial laws, and political laws. The people today, in their main laws, they called it the financial law, the administrative law, the civil law, the criminal law, the international law. All of that, the Sharia spoke about it. A man who came 1400 years ago, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, came with all this. It covers every aspect of law that you wanted to know. Nothing was missing. Nothing was missing. All these laws. And it came with perfection. And you see now how the scholars from the Quran and the Sunnah derive different sciences of the fiqh. السياسة الشرعية الأحكام السلطانية the international law السير الكبير which written by أبو الحسن الشيباني الحنفي رحمه الله and it's all derived from the Quran and Sunnah and the life of our beloved Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. The fifth point, the Sharia came with توازن, balanced. The Sharia came balanced. There is no separation between deen, religion and science, nor between religion and government, nor between religion and life. There is no split personality in the Sharia. Everything came in cohesion. Everything came intertwined with each other. There is no separation. That's why we do not separate between the government, the politics and religion. No, they intertwine with each other. And any attempt is blasphemy. Any attempt is a blasphemy. And that's why the religion of Islam did not also come to separate between the religion where you have hierarchy of ulama who have nothing to do with the life. The alim also, he is and he's supposed to be amongst the people. Because the ilm is not separate from the reality. It's not something only one level of people enjoy. The ulama, they did their ijtihad to find solution based from the Sharia to live with the daily life. And that's why the alim cannot be alim and the fatwa cannot be a valid fatwa except if the alim has two qualities. As Ibn al-Qayyim said in A'lam al-Muwaqi'in, he said he has to know the hukm al-shari'i, the ruling from the Sharia, and the reality that he needs to implement it in. Fiqh al-waqi', the fiqh of understanding the reality. And that's why it is balance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, listen to this beautiful ayah, when gave us the balance, وَابْتَغِي فِي مَا أَتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدار الآخرة ولا تنس نصيبك من الدنيا.
But seek with what? Wealth which Allah has bestowed on you, the home of the hereafter, and forget not your proportion of lawful enjoyment in this world.
شوف سبحان الله, how the Sharia came balanced. It does not say to the people, isolate yourself and live on the top of the mountains, meditating, nor indulge with the people and forgetting about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the hereafter.
Balance everything.
And that's why, because the body has needs and must be fulfilled. And the hereafter has needs, must be fulfilled. And the human being by nature, without the guidance from Allah, he's going to transgress. And that's why we see the transgression of religions like the Buddhism, where, and other religions, where they isolate themselves from humanity, like the priests who never get married, and they do not take wives, the monks who live on the top of the mountains, or the human being can transgress and go to the other side all the way, where he becomes a materialistic human who has no connection with his spirit whatsoever. Or, as the great famous story between Salman al-Farisi and Abu Darda, when Umm al-Darda complained, radiyallahu anha, and said, Abu Darda, he has no need of this dunya. Salman picked her up, radiyallahu anhu, very quickly. And he went, and you know the story. He slept over his house, then he seen him, and he understood the problem, and he gave him the cure. He said, إِنَّ لِرَبِّكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقٍ. Your Lord has right over you. وَلِأَهْلِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقٍ. And your family has right over you. وَلِجَسَدِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقٍ. And your body has right over you. فَأَعْطِ كُلَّ ذِي حَقٍ حَقَّهُ. Give everyone his right and what he deserves. So, the Sharia of Islam came to be a balanced Sharia. Number 6, the Sharia of Islam came with active positiveness. So, the Muslim is ordered to go out on the face of this earth and work, and work for the da'wah, work for Islam, work to spread the Sharia of Islam, work for your own betterment, and not to sit at home and do nothing. And we will hear later about protecting the nafs. So that's why Islam came to forbid the killing, stealing, zina, drinking alcohol, destroying unnecessarily. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ, when he ordered the Mujahideen, do not cut down a tree, do not kill innocent, and so on and so forth. Why? Because the Sharia came to protect. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and listen to the ayah accurately, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. You are the best of nations came out to the people. تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. You enjoin good. That's your role, to enjoin good. وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And you forbid evil. And that's why this ayah gives us the positiveness that Muslim is a positive being, is not a negative being, is not a self-destructing person, is not a person who comes to destruct, comes to build. And that is the positive outwardness in the Sharia. And that's why Allah gave us another general rule, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. And aid each other for birr, goodness, and taqwa, piety. وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. And do not aid each other to do evil and enmity. And here, and I want to bring your attention and listen, what man-made law says. Do not harm others. Do not harm your neighbor. Do not throw harm on the path. But listen how Islam says, be good to others. Be good to your neighbor and remove harm from the path. Remove harm. Subhanallah, the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. And that's why he said, وَأَدْنَاهَا, and the lowest, إِمَاطَةُ الْأَذَى عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ. To remove the harm from the path. Not compare it between, do not throw the harm. Now the Sharia says remove the harm if it exists. Number 7, the reality, al-waqi'iyyah. Our religion is a realistic religion. And the realistic religion, it does not mean, as the modern fatawa that is coming out to the Muslims, where they turn Islam to accept the reality. They use Islam and the fatawa to tell the Muslims
be stagnant and accept the reality. Not as Islam came to change the reality, to move forward and not to come with fatawi to accept the reality.
Subhanallah al-Azim, the Sharia of Islam, it came to move the Muslims forward, not to drive them backward and to give them Sharia to accept their life. They're living a certain life, a certain lifestyle. They do not want to change it. The role of the alim today is to come to find weird opinions, odd opinions in the Sharia, to take it, highlight it, polish it, and give fatwa, so the people accept the reality they are living in. And also, what we need to understand, that the religion of Islam is a deen, it's a religion, the Sharia of Islam is realistic Sharia. Look how, when someone is at the time of necessity, of darura, the Sharia said to him, if you're dying from starvation and you find khanzir, you're allowed to eat. فَمَنْ اِطْطُرَّ غَيْرَ بَغٍ وَلَا عَدْ. And if you feel that it is necessary for you, with no oppression and no transgression, you are allowed to eat so you can keep yourself alive. And then, as it made the wudu obligatory, the Sharia of Islam knew that some people are weak and they cannot use water at times, they gave them the tayammum. And as it told us to pay five times a day at certain set times, the Sharia at the same time said, you can combine the Salat if you're traveling to make it easy on you. Because the Sharia realizes that the people, there is going to be hardship on them. And as the Sharia said to fast Ramadan, said to the sick, you do not have to fast. So it came to consider the real human being. The human being, the phases that he goes through. And compare this to other shara'i' and you would know how perfect is our sharia. And also, the sharia of Islam never came to overburden. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. And fear Allah to the best of your ability. And here I do not want to be misunderstood, that the best of your ability, that when your whims and desires implement on you, no, the best of your ability, meaning you have to implement the Sharia of Islam as much as you can, unless there is haraj. Haraj meaning you are traveling and you could not pray on time, then you can combine the salat. And the Sharia does not become asrar wa aghlal, does not become shackles to shackle the Muslim down, and he cannot move forward in his life. Another character of the characteristics of the Sharia, point number 8, al-adala, justice. The Sharia came to spread justice amongst people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in many ayat, I'll mention a few. وَإِذَا قُلْتُمْ فَعْدِلُوا وَلَوْ كَانَ ذَا قُرْبَى. And when you speak with justice, even if he is related to you. Meaning, if you're going to speak the truth, even if it's going to come back on someone who is close to you. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ. And when you rule amongst people, rule with justice. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ لِلَّهِ شُهَدَاءَ بِالْقِسْطِ وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا اِعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. O you who believe, stand out firmly for Allah as just witnesses, and let not the enmity and hatred of others make you avoid justice. Be just, that is nearer to piety, and fear Allah. Verily Allah is well acquainted with what you do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if people prosecuted you and caused mischief to you, you should treat them with the justice. And do not let that prosecution that prosecuted you with lead you to be an oppressor. And it is one of the main characteristics of the Sharia, the justice. And the justice in Sharia is divided to many types. First, justice with oneself. Not to harm himself. Not to torture himself. Not to belittle himself. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah does not burden a soul more than what it bears. And the justice has to be, you have to give yourself justice. And as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said,
إِنَّ لِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّ Yourself has a right over you. وَإِنَّ لِبَدَنِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّ And your body has right over you. وَإِنَّ لِأَهْلِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّ And your family has right over you. فَآتِ كُلَّ ذِي حَقٍ حَقَّ Give everyone with the right his right. So Islam, as you see, justice for oneself. Secondly, justice with others. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, one of you would not become a believer until he loves for his brother what he loves with himself. And that is the ultimate of justice. To love for others what you love for yourself, that is the ultimate of justice. And also thirdly, the justice in the Sharia of Islam. The justice, the judicial justice. That all the creation are the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in front of the Islamic law, everyone is equal. And the ruling, many ruling. We all know the story of Shuraih al-Qadi, Ali radiallahu anhu and a Yahudi. Who they disagreed for an armor, who does it belong to? And then, because Ali radiallahu anhu, he did not have the proof it is his, even though it is his, Shuraih ruled for the Yahudi and not to Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali radiallahu anhu. And then, the Yahudi gave back the armor to Ali radiallahu anhu and he said, it is yours. And the great hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadithat al-mar al-makhzumiyya. A woman from Bani Makhzum, she stole something. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to implement the had on her. The prescribed punishment by cutting the hand of the thief. And the story is known to amongst you. Then when a group of people came to Usama ibn Zayd because they know how much the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loves Usama ibn Zayd. And then Usama came to speak to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, maybe he can remove this punishment. He said to Usama, أَتَشْفَعُ فِي حَدٍ مِّنْ حُدُودِ اللَّهِ يَا أُسَامَ Usama, you are interceding for a had, a prescribed punishment from which Allah has legislated. Subhanallah al-Azim. So Usama got scared, radiyallahu anhu. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم stood up as a khatib and he said, مَا بَالُ أَقْوَام يَشْفَعُونَ فِي حَدٍ مِّنْ حُدُودِ اللَّهِ What is with some people that intercede in the had from the حُدُودِ اللَّهِ إنما أهلك الذين قبلكم أنهم إذا سرق الشريف تركوه What has destroyed people before you, the nations before you, that when the honorable steal, they will let him go. قطعوه And when the weak steal, they will cut his hand off. وأيم الله meaning by Allah, لو أن فاطمة بنت محمد سرقت لقطعت يدها. By Allah, indeed, if Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad, stole, I will cut off her hand. Justice. No differentiation. Everyone is equal in front of the court of the Sharia. And also, social justice. In the Sharia, there is... So, we said, justice with oneself, justice with others, judicial justice, and social justice. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ made it a golden rule for us. That, al-Muslim akhul Muslim. The Muslim is a brother of a Muslim. لا يظلمه, he does not oppress him. ولا يخذله, he doesn't let him down. ولا يسلمه, and he does not surrender him. ومن كان في حاجة أخيه, كان الله في حاجته. And whomever his brother is in the need of him, Allah is in the need of him. ومن فرج عن مسلم كربة, فرج الله عنه بها كربة من كرب يوم القيامة. And whomever releases and help his brother in a calamity, Allah will release and help him in a calamity from the calamities of the hereafter. وَمَنْ سَتَرَ مُسْلِمًا سَتَرَهُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ And whomever covers the sin of a Muslim, Allah will cover his sin on the Day of Judgment. And whomever covers the Muslim, whatever he sees wrong from his brother in Islam, Allah will cover him and cover his mistakes in the day. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, من مشى في حاجة أخيه Whomever walks for the need of his brother ساعة من ليل أو نهار An hour in night or day قضاها أو لم يقضها Whether it was filled or not fulfilled كان خيرا له من اعتكاف شهرين It is better for him than اعتكاف for 2 months Subhanallah العظيم And here we know and we see the social justice in Islam Islam came with complete form of justice. That is an important character from the characteristics of Islam. And the last point, the Sharia of Islam revolves around a pivotal point,
which is number 9.
Al-haraka hawla mihwarin wahid. It moves and revolves around a pivotal point. A pivotal point. That everything in the life of the Muslim is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everything you see in it, it's related and goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there isn't many laws he needs to please. The Sharia of Islam came to bring the human to concentrate on pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all his life is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The individual, his life is to Allah, and the society is for Allah. And that's why the Sharia is revolved, as we said in the first point, around the faith and around the aqidah, which gives rest and peace to the soul. Instead that the human being is torn in between different gods, the god of his whims and the gods of his desires, and the gods that is in the churches, and the gods that is at work, and here and there, the Muslim revolves around one deity, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is no conflict, no delusions, nothing. Because the Sharia of Islam comes from the one Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After we finish the characteristics of the Sharia, we want to speak about the divisions of the Sharia, and be patient with me. يقول ابن القيم رحمه الله in his book إعلام المواقعين فإن الشريعة مبناها وأساسها على الحكم ومصالح العباد في المعاش والمعاد. The Sharia of Islam, it is based and constructed on wisdom and to bring benefit to the people in this dunya and the hereafter. وَهِيَ عَدْلٌ كُلُّهَا. And it is عَدْل, all of it, justice. وَرَحْمَةٌ كُلُّهَا, and mercy, all of it. وَمَصَالِحُ كُلُّهَا, and bringing benefit, all of it. وَحِكْمَةٌ كُلُّهَا, and wisdom, all of it. So, he gave us the great understanding that this Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to bring the maslaha and the benefit. And I will mention later, inshaAllah, the confusion a little bit about maslaha, inshaAllah, if I can work in the future some lectures about maslaha, as some unfortunately has used it to suit their whims and suiting to destroy the Sharia, instead working towards building Islam in the hearts of people. The Sharia came with different levels and objectives. We find the Sharia came with three main levels. The ulama, through al-istiqra, by analyzing the Sharia in its totality, they came to this conclusion that are three different levels. Ulama like al-imam al-Ghazali, like al-Juwayni, like al-Shatibi, and many ulama who spoke about this, and specifically al-imam al-Shatibi in his kitab al-Muwafaqat, came to give an illustration of this issue. It's a critical issue, and it is highly misused in these days. And inshallah that will have a different lecture altogether, how they are misusing this issue of maqasid al-sharia, of objectives of the Sharia in these days. It becomes like a magic stick that turns haram to halal. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. So the Sharia came with levels. The highest is الضروريات, the necessities, which is the Sharia came to protect the deen, the nafs, the life, the aql, the intellect, and nasl, the production, and the wealth. All of what you see from what the Sharia has legislated, all of it filters to protect this five. This is the first level of daruriyat, which is defined as whatever necessary for the life of the people to remain. If one of those five that I mentioned were to go off balance, the hayat will be destroyed and will go astray, and the hereafter will go astray too. Meaning, if these five
daruriyat, necessities, are not kept intact and protected, then the dunya would go and the hereafter would go. And then we have al-hajiyat, the needs, which we'll talk about after we finish talking about the necessities. The third level is at-tahsiniyat, the rules that were legislated to bring the perfection and completeness. So the levels are three: necessities that we must maintain, hajiyat, needs which came to support the necessities, and tahsiniyat, which came to give the perfection and the completeness. And we'll take one by one, inshaAllah, and explain them. Al-daruriyat, the necessities, are divided to five. To protect the deen. So the sharia, all of it came to protect the deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislated the ibadat, all different types of worship, whether they're practiced inwardly by reflecting on the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it is the actions of the heart like love of Allah and having reliance on Allah and sincerity, or actions practiced by the limbs like the five daily salat and the zakat and the siyam and hajj, all of it came to protect the deen. And that's why the sharia came to prohibit shirk and anything that leads to shirk. Yani sometimes ones would ask, why it is haram to hang pictures? We don't understand why. We're not going to worship the picture. The purpose of the sharia to preserve the tawheed, and legislated laws to protect the tawheed and anything that could lead to harming tawheed. Because hanging pictures could lead to shirk, even it in itself it is not shirk. And also the sharia of Islam legislated jihad to protect the deen. That's why protecting the nafs is one lesser level, which is the jihad requires someone to put his life on the line to protect what? The deen. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالْفِتْنَةُ أَشَدُّ مِنَ الْقَتْلِ. The fitna here, the ulama said the shirk. So the shirk is greater from the killing. So that's why the deen is into higher priority than the nafs. Everything came to protect the deen in the sharia of Islam. To protect oneness tawheed. So the tawheed have to be at the highest of levels. As you see here, all the ibadat, including jihad, is there to protect the deen. Your salat is to protect your deen. When you do the salat five times a day, your deen is protected. When you pay the zakat, your deen is protected. When you do your siyam, your deen is protected. When you do Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislated the hajj to protect your deen. So all the ibadat Allah legislated to protect your deen. And that's why the sharia of Islam obligated the Islamic government to make it easy for people to practice their deen. And to encourage them to practice their deen. And the Islamic government must protect the deen of the people. And must ward away anything that comes harming their deen. That is the role of the Islamic government. Not as they do today, where they make it easy on the people to abandon their deen and make it hard to practice their deen. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. The deen is the highest aim for the Muslim. The second one, حِفْظُ النَّفْس. Protecting the self, the nafs. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade killing. And He put stern punishment on killing. And He put stern punishment on harming others. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, اجتنبوا السبع الموبقات. Be aware from the seven major chief sins. First, الشرك بالله. Second, السحر, sorcery. Third, وقتل النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق. To kill the nafs
that Allah has forbidden except by its
right.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بِغَيْرِ مَا اكْتَسَبُوا فَقَدْ احْتَمَلُوا بُهْتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا.
And those who harm the believing men and believing women undeservedly, they bear themselves the crime of slander and plain sin.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to protect you as a human being, He has legislated this legislation because Allah gave you this nafs as a gift. And no one has the right to transgress the limit and take it away from you by killing you. And no one has the right to harm you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created a human being and honored him. And He gave him the obligation to build this earth. So Allah legislated laws, all these laws that we see, to protect oneself and to protect his right to exist. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sharia of Islam, said, وَأَحَلَّ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. Allah made everything halal for you to eat and drink and live so you can survive, except the few that the sharia forbade, as you know, khanzir and whatever is slaughtered not for Allah, and khamra and so on, as it's been, you know that. So the sharia came to protect oneself. And that's why, notice what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, مِنْ أَجْلِ ذَلِكَ كَتَبْنَا عَلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ أَنَّهُ مَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسًا بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ أَوْ فَسَادٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَكَأَنَّمَا قَتَلَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَا النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. It is for that reason Allah written upon Bani Israel that if anyone killed the person not in relation of murder or to cause corruption on earth, or he killed him to cause and spread mischief and corruption on this earth, as if he killed all of mankind and humanity. And whoever gives it life and revives it, as if he revived all of humanity. Subhanallah al-Azim. So, from maqasid al-Sharia, from the aim of the Sharia to keep oneself, this is when some mashayikh get it wrong. They give preference for the nafs over the deen. They're prepared to give fatawi compromising the deen to give joy for the nafs, while it's supposed to give fatawi to protect the deen on the expense of the nafs. That's why the deen comes at a higher level, and under it comes protection of the nafs. And the only time a person compromises his deen is when he is under what the ulama, they call it al-ikrah al-mulji, and the forceful duress. When someone says to you, as in the case of Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu, someone put a gun to his head, someone is torturing him to death, and say the word of kufr, this is when he is to protect himself while his heart is at peace with iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاةٌ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And in the prescribed punishment, you have life to protect the society from murder and killing. That's why the Sharia legislated what is known as the prescribed punishment for the murderer. Allah called that prescribed punishment life. وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاتٍ. You have in the punishment life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you the life through the punishment. The life of the whole society. The whole society becomes alive when we implement the Sharia of Islam. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislated jihad to protect the weak, sacrificing few souls to protect the majority. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, in Surah An-Nisa, verse 75-76,
وَمَا لَكُمْ لَا تُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالْمُسْتَضْعَفِينَ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ وَالنِّسَاءِ وَالْوِلْدَانِ الَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا أَخْرِجْنَا مِنْ هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةِ الظَّالِمِ أَهْلُهَا وَاجْعَلْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَلِيًّا وَاجْعَلْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ نَصِيرًا.
And what is wrong with you that you fight not in the cause of Allah and for those weak, ill-treated and oppressed among men, women and children, whose cry is, O our Lord, rescue us
from this town whose people are oppressors, and raise for us from you one who will protect, and raise for us from you who will help.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made it part of the aims to protect the weak community by sacrificing few lives to protect the lives of the majority. And this is subhanahu wa ta'ala clear in protecting the self, an-nafs. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said about the people who killed themselves, مَنْ تَرَدَّى مِنْ جَبَلٍ فَقَتَلَ نَفْسَهُ فَهُوَ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمْ يَتَرَدَّى فِيهَا خَالِدًا مُخَلَّدًا فِيهَا أَبَدًا. Whomever throws himself from a mountain, he is in fire, in hellfire, falling into it till eternity.
وَمَنْ تَحَسَّى سُمًّا فَقَتَلَ نَفْسَهُ فَسُمُّهُ فِي يَدِهِ يَتَحَسَّاهُ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمْ خَالِدًا مُخَلَّدًا فِيهَا أَبَدًا.
And whomever drinks a poison and he kills himself, his poison will be in his hand, he will drink it in the hellfire forever and ever and ever.
وَمَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسَهُ بِحَدِيدَةٍ فَحَدِيدَتُهُ فِي يَدِهِ يَجَأُ بِهَا فِي بَطْنِهِ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمْ خَالِدًا مُخَلَّدًا فِيهَا أَبَدًا.
And whomever stabs himself with a piece of iron, this piece of iron is in his hand in the hereafter, stabbing his stomach with it in the hellfire forever and ever and ever. So, the Sharia of Islam came with all its laws to protect the nafs, not to kill an innocent soul, not to transgress and harm others, and to protect yourself, and not to harm yourself and kill yourself, nor mutilate yourself. And now you understand why the Sharia says you're not allowed to imprint tattoos on yourself. And not allowed to mutilate yourself with earrings in different places except the prescribed places. And not to harm one's body. The third, protection of hifdhul aql, protection of intellect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this intellect, this brains that we have, this ability to think, هذا العقل, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it for us as a criterion between humans and animals. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ وَحَمَلْنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. We have honored the son of Adam and we carried them in the land and the sea. So we, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, said that we honored the son of Adam. We honored him because of the intellect and the brains that he gave them. And the intellect is manat al-taklif, as the ulama says. A condition for you to become an obligated person, to fulfill the obligations of Allah, you must have the intellect. And without it, you're not obligated. That's why if you were asleep, the sharia does not burden you. And that's why if you are under, and that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He called us to Islam, and He called us to believe in Him and worship Him, He gave us the proofs and plenty proofs in the Quran, and He said, for the ones who have intellect, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Indeed, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the turning of the night and the day, verses to the ones who have intellect. And that's why a person in Islam, not allowed to sell his mind, not allowed to cover his mind. And that's why you're not allowed to practice magic. Because magic bewitches the eyes and controls the intellect. And that's why it is haram to participate and read and believe, and it reaches to kufr when you indulge in astrology and sign reading and so on. Why? Because you are believing fairy tales and believing something that has no reality. And that could influence the correct intellectual order of the brains. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited khamr and drugs. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجْسٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ.
O you who have believed, indeed al-khamr and gambling and dedication to stones, rijs, evil from the handiwork of the shaitan, stay away from it. because it causes the intellect to go, and then the person will behave in an orderly fashion, in the wrong way, and he becomes like an animal. Becomes like an animal because the difference between a human and animal, that the human has an intellect that can control them and tells them and direct them. And Allah gave us the wisdom behind it. He said, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَن يُوقِعَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Indeed, the shaitan, he likes to cause amongst you الْعَدَاوَةَ وَالْبَغْضَاءِ فِي الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ. Enmity and hatred through the khamr and the maysir. وَيَصُدَّكُمْ عَن ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. And to stop you from the remembrance of Allah. So all this, now when we see the Sharia came to put strong punishment against the one who drink alcohol, وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ, we know the reason why. Because it corrupts and it hides and buries one of the necessities that the Sharia came to protect, which is the aql. And that's why the Muslim need to be aware at all time. Need to pay attention to what's going on around him. And not to surrender himself to anything that control the mind. And the corruptors of the mind are many today. The false media, the fairy tales and the fibs, the fairy tales that he reads. And many can come and control the mind. And you see the person, the young Muslim, living in a world of dream that has no reality and is not connected to reality. The following one, the fourth one, protecting hifdhun nasl, protecting the production. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He created the man and the woman, He put desire in them. And the wisdom behind the desire, so they can get married, so they can produce. And that is the main reason of marriage. So you can produce descendants. And that's why the Sharia came to legislate the zawaj al-shar'i, the lawful marriage. And that's why it forbade zawaj al-mut'a, the temporary marriage. Because the temporary marriage goes against the aim of the Sharia, which is to protect the production. It is only a mean to fulfill the desire, but does not achieve the purpose of the Sharia. And that's why the Sharia came to forbid zina. Because the zina is a mean to fulfill the desire without producing children. And also the zina can mix a nasl, meaning the production can be mixed. No one would know who is the son of whom. And that goes against the purpose of the Sharia to protect and preserve it. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put some hajiyat, which is the next level, to protect that. He allowed the talaq, and He put conditions on the contract of marriage, which is considered hajiyat, needs. Like having a wali, a guardian for the woman. And witnesses on the contract came as hajiyat. And also in the tahsiniyat, he came and said, which is the things related to perfection and manners, that the man has to be good to his wife and look after his wife, and the woman has to be good to her husband and look after her husband. And that's why the Sharia, when it came with the harsh punishment of zina and strong and stern. And that's why when the Sharia came with the stern punishment of zina, to protect the nasl. And that's why you see now they are paying attention to this, where they say Muslims are growing in great number all over the world. Whilst in the West they have a problem called Asian population, where the population is growing old in age. And there isn't enough young people to work and produce enough taxes to pay for the pension of the aging generation. The Sharia came and said, no zina. Don't empty your desire in haram. Get married and fulfill it in halal. And have children. And bring them up righteously. And that's why the Sharia came to forbid abortion. All this to filter into one purpose, which is to protect the descendant. And also, the Sharia came to stop the means of zina, which is intermingling, and came with the hijab to the woman, and came with the preventions between the two sexes, the male and female, and put a dividing line, so any mean to zina is closed. And even Ibn Hazm, rahimahullah, he said that the Khalifa must have avenues for the young men to get married and to provide them with money so they can get married. And if they do not own a dab, I mean a vehicle to travel with, a horse or a camel, the Khalifa should provide them so they can go. He can go to work and spend on his wife. And that's why all this means that came to protect. So if a Muslim in an Islamic society where the woman is wearing hijab and the Khalifa is providing him with enough money to get married and the means of haram are removed, the means of fitna are removed, yet he insists on performing zina, then he deserves what he gets. And he deserves the punishment. The fifth, protecting the wealth. Since the wealth is an important part of the life of people, the Sharia took a great deal in illustrating how the transactions should happen and how they should take place. That's why the Sharia made some a halal and encouraged the people to go out and work and earn from halal. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, هُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ ذَلُولًا فَامْشُوا فِي مَنَاكِبِهَا وَكُلُوا مِنْ رِزْقِهِ وَإِلَيْهِ النُّشُورِ. He is the one who made for you the earth easy to walk upon and work upon. So, فَامْشُوا فِي مَنَاكِبِهَا, walk the earth, and كُلُوا مِنْ رِزْقِهِ, and go out and work and eat from his sustenance, وَإِلَيْهِ النُّشُورِ, and to him you shall be resurrected. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا كَسَبَ الرَّجُلُ كَسْبًا أَطْيَبُ مِنْ عَمَلِ يَدِهِ. There is no better earning for a man than the earning of his handiwork. And that's why the Sharia came to say it is haram to steal, because you're taking the wealth of others, and the objective of the Sharia is to protect the wealth. And that's why the laws of stealing are stern, because you are taking the right of others and things that do not belong to you. And that's why the Sharia came with something called Al Hajru على السفيه والمجنون. The one who spends his money foolishly, he's foolish and spends the money foolishly, the Sharia came to say he can be put under constraint and a guardian will be set to control his spending. And the crazy person takes the same ruling. And that's why the Sharia forbade cheating and forbade ambiguity in the buying and selling and made haram the earning and the working with riba, and made halal buying and selling, because the Sharia wants the money to move between people. Two examples that I like to give you. The first example, when the ulama said about the zakat of the cattle and put set amount, majority of the ulama, they said, when for example the amount you need to pay is small, let's say 2 years old camel or sheep. If someone says, these two sheep, they are, if I kill them and unskin them and cut them to pieces, they are about 30-40 kilo of meat. So I would kill them and clean them and give them to the poor people. The Sharia says no. The Sharia wants you to give sheep so he can, the poor person, take it off you. Use the wool on its back by shearing it regularly, milking it, or to use it for production. This way, in a few years' time, this poor person will have his own flock. But if you give him the meat, within a week he's going to eat it, and then what? That is the wisdom behind the Sharia, subhanallah al-azim, to protect the wealth. That's why, for example, Aqd al-Salam. What is Aqd al-Salam? Aqd al-Salam came to the people to protect also the wealth and protect the community from the inflation of prices. A farmer needs money to cultivate his property. He is allowed to sell, for example, 500 kilos or 2 or 3 tons of grapes or dates at a certain time, at a certain date of delivery, and then take money from investors. In return, he will give them a specific produce that the land gives. Let's say the land gives grapes. He says, in such month and such date, I will give you 2 tons of grapes for such amount of money. And he gets the money in his hand up front. This way, because the farmers usually need the money before he starts cultivating, to buy the seeds and look after his property and look after himself. And at that time, he will deliver the produce. Now imagine this farmer goes to the bank and he borrows the money where he needs to pay interest on that money. Now when he sells his produce, he sells it for a higher price than when he would give it to in Aqd al-Salam. And then you see how the inflation becomes greater because he's paying more money. He needs to lift the prices, which makes the price of the produce higher. But the Sharia came with contracts to protect the people and the wealth of people. And we see how the Sharia came to protect the wealth. And pay attention that these 5 necessities are into levels. One should not compromise his deen for money, nor compromise his deen for production, nor compromise his deen for the aql, nor compromise his deen for the nafs. The deen comes at the highest. Everything under it is to protect the deen. And that's why the ulama put him in a specific order like that. Now, as for the hajiyat, the second level, the definition of it, everything the people need in their life to lift the hardship of themselves. So when the hajiyat, these needs, are not there, the people feel hardship. But the life, if they don't exist, the life, it's not going to be distorted like it will be distorted in the necessities. Example, the Sharia allowed the sick and the traveler to unfast or to do the tayammum when there is no water. This is needs. That's why the Sharia legislated this, to protect and complete the necessities. And that's why for the person, he's allowed to sit if he cannot stand up in salat, when if he's sick. Also, the talaq. And also I mentioned to you, as-salam. As-salam came to protect the wealth. As for the third level, at-tahsiniyat, which is the perfection, and anything that to do with etiquette and manners. For example, an-nawafil. An-nawafil, the supererogatory or extra salawat, came to protect the 5 daily salat. Because the person who has a weak iman, if he's not praying the extra nawafil salawat, he will compromise the obligation. But if he is praying the obligation and the nawafil at the state of weak iman, he might compromise the nawafil, but he would not compromise the necessities, which is the salat. Also, it came, for example, the etiquettes of eating and drinking. And in the cases of marriage, you're not allowed to ask for a sister in marriage if she's already engaged. This is from At-Tahsiniyat. It doesn't mean somewhat befalls under the Tahsiniyat is not obligatory. No, because some issues are haram, but the ulama consider them as a completion to the necessities. Like, for example, Bay'u al-insani ala bay'i akhi. To sell over your brother's transaction. Meaning, you know your brother, he bought something for $100. And he bought it off your brother in Islam. Then you go to him, look, return it, and I'll sell it to you for 90. That is bay' ala bay'i akhik. And that is not allowed in Islam. Yet the ulama classified under al-tahsiniyat. Al-tahsiniyat. So as we see, when you protect the hajiyat, what is needs, and the tahsiniyat, it leads you to protect the daruriyat, which is the necessities. And that brings me to the last point of my lecture. I like to bring this point to you. يقول الكمال بن الهمام, the great Hanafi Imam, about the prescribed
punishment in Islam, إِنَّهَا مَوَانِعٌ قَبْلَ الْفِعْلِ وَزَوَاجِرُ بَعْدَهُ. Indeed, it is prevention before the act and deterrent after it. So here he's saying the purpose of this prescribed punishment in the Sharia of Islam. مَوَانِعُ قَبْلَ الْفِعْلِ. Before you fall into the haram, you know the prescribed punishment. So that should stop you from falling into it. That should be a prevention from anyone to think going into haram. مَوَانِعُ. So when you know that if you fall into zina, this is the punishment. Or you steal, this is the punishment. Or al-qadhaf. Al-qadhaf, which is to curse somebody by saying you're son of this or son of that. This is al-qadhaf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it to protect one of the necessities, which is al-nasl, protecting the production. So when you know the punishment is 80 lashes, because you're accusing somebody's mother with wal-iyadu billah, prostitution or zina, when you know just by accusing him that, if you cannot bring four witnesses, then there is 80 lashes. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. So that deters the people from falling into haram. وَزَوَاجِرُ بَعْدَهُ. After the punishment is done, it deters the person from falling into it again, and others who are watching and knowing, from falling into it again. So the Sharia did not bring anything to cause harm to the people. Now it brings everything to protect the people. To protect their deen, to protect their nafs, to protect their intellect, their aql, to protect their production, and to protect their wealth. And by this, and I know it's been a very long lecture, I hope I have covered the main points that I want to cover. And inshallah, in following lectures, that I'm thinking to have a whole series about the five al-kulliyat al-khams, or the five necessities, and explain thoroughly this issue, and explain thoroughly where some of the modern shuyukh, when they giving fatawi based on maslaha, where they are exactly going wrong, and where the problem is, as I have studied this topic thoroughly based on my university studies, where I am specialized, walhamdulillah, in al-qada wa siyasa al-shar'iyya, in judicial and Islamic political theory in this field, to show how the Sharia of Islam does not put anything over the deen. Everything has to be servant for the deen, and the pinnacle of the deen is protecting Tawheed and protecting La ilaha illallah. جزاكم الله خير for your attention. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.